as a result of it, provided it does not work contrary to what was intended, which it might for some people, of course. But if he feels a state of euphoria as a result of it, he is experiencing happiness. The mental feeling he is experiencing at that time is exactly the same feeling that is experienced by the thoughtful, long-range individual who has just fulfilled his life's work and is very satisfied with his accomplishments. There's no difference between the feeling that's being experienced. There is a difference, however, and that comes in the way it was brought about and the after effects that will follow it. What is expected to follow the euphorious drug, for instance, is entirely different than what will follow the particular position the man has put himself into, who has worked very diligently and through a long-term plan to accomplish this goal. The fact of the matter is, though, that if there were no harmful consequences to euphorious drugs, and the individual was somehow able to provide for his survival so as to be able to continue to experience his happiness, then there would be no argument that you could really pose for not taking the drugs. It's only because there are harmful consequences from taking such shortcuts to happiness that cause us to look for ways of producing more durable happiness. And this is a very important point, I feel, because you can look at somebody else and say, well, he thinks he's happy or he's experiencing something, but it's not happiness. It is. It's a single concept. It is a single state of consciousness. You don't look at it and you say this is half happiness or this is three-quarters happiness or it's a false happiness. It may be followed by the most harmful consequences, but it doesn't change what it was at that moment. And it is to the individual's advantage to arrange things in such a way that he doesn't get his happiness in a way that will explode upon him the minute it's over with harmful consequences. Obviously, all that's important. But what we're trying to pin down here is the fact that it is a state of consciousness that the individual can identify for himself. I can't tell you whether or not you are happy at any time, but you know whether or not you're happy. There's no mistaking it. It is a feeling that you can identify in yourself. It exists. Now, if on the other hand, the individual says that he ought to be happy at this time because of something he's accomplished, but his so-called well-being or supposed well-being is accompanied by extreme nervousness or uneasiness or discomfort of any kind, then obviously he is not experiencing happiness at that time. He's only been told that this should bring him happiness, and so he expects it. He's made his $1 million, or he's done the thing that everybody says will bring you happiness, and all he knows is he's still uneasy, he still feels uncomfortable about the whole thing, but he says, I must be happy because I've accomplished everything that I have wanted to have in life, and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that it isn't happiness because he is not experiencing the state of mental well-being free from the feeling of uneasiness, anxiety, or discomfort. Because happiness is a real state. There is nothing intangible about it at all. Because of this fact, that it is a real state that you can identify in yourself, it is possible then to formulate plans, to work out courses of action that can bring you the situation where you will experience this state in the greatest possible measure for the longest period of time, uninterrupted by feeling of discomfort or uneasiness. It is possible to work out such plans because you know what it is. But of course, this means that you do have to recognize what causes it in yourself and not simply take somebody else's word for it that such and such a thing would make you happy. Or because a particular dogma or doctrine has always said that this will make you happy, then you might as well go through the mechanics of getting it because that must be happiness. Everybody says it is. But it is something clear-cut and real that you can identify. But what, of course, you have to do is to figure out what it is that makes you happy, what it is that gives you that feeling of well-being, regardless of what may cause it in others. And this can be the area that is illusory. You feel that something will bring you well-being, and you go through it, and you find that it doesn't exist when it's all done, that you have made a mistaken calculation. Now, of course, this also brings people to the conclusion that there is no such thing as happiness, really, that man only pursues it in life, that he never really experiences it because he's always looking forward to something in the future. And so that life is really nothing more than a chase for happiness, and this is the motive power of all human action, that it is never actually experienced. You never actually catch happiness and enjoy it. Well, of course, by this definition and through the use of happiness, by this term, I would, of course, not agree with that either, because you do experience happiness. Even the most unhappy individual generally has moments of happiness when he feels the mental state of well-being. It's just that he doesn't get enough of it to satisfy him, and understandably so. But everyone experiences happiness at some time or another, some people more than others. But if it were really true that life was nothing but a pursuit of happiness that you never really obtained, then my reaction to that would be, well, let me know at the next stop because I'd